Okay, how would you open it then?
Huh?
How would you open it then?
You mean besides?
I think it's a perfect encapsulation of what the movie is actually about.
Pretty much. It's like, it gets the blood boiling, you know? Oh, I love it.
Justice League.
Zack
Snyder's Justice League. Different from regular Justice League 2017.
Blech. Hello everyone and welcome back to the Cinema Smash Podcast. I'm Luke and I'm here with
Jake.
And today we'll be talking about Zack Snyder's Justice League released in March of 2021. Okay, let's start off. General opinion. Movie.
It was so much better than the first one to the point that I didn't believe it was the same film.
Which first one?
I believe it's something along the lines of Justice something. Something to do with Justice. I'm not too sure. But it was so much better that I genuinely didn't think it was the same film. The first one was terrible. It was a nightmare.
But this film?
This film was here's the thing. I don't know how to classify it because I don't want to say great because I don't think it was great. It was good, definitely. It was very entertaining. It was so much better than the first one. It had me hooked. I watched the whole 4 hours and it's a really long film.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know how I'd classify it, yeah.
Okay, well, I get what you're saying. It's still a four-hour movie, yep. Which, if we're going to be honest...
Too long.
I loved it. I actually loved it, but it's way too long. It wouldn't be released as a full movie in cinemas. It would at least be two parts.
Yeah, exactly.
It might have been better, because you get the first part without Superman, and the second part with Superman.
Yeah, and I mean, you look at how long Marvel has had to build up this stuff. I think DC could have had a two-movie Justice League.
The DCEU is a big dumpster fire clusterfuck, movie is what I would say it's a...
You call it a masterpiece earlier on.
No, there are pieces that in the movie it can be considered to be part of a masterpiece.
No, I completely agree. There's certain shots.
There are also some cringy moments in it.
Oh, the Flash, please stop quipping. Please stop quipping.
Some of the quips are funny.
Yeah,
but
sure.
It was both his introduction. But overall, I would say, yeah, a lot better than whatever came before. I'm so happy that Zack finally got to execute his vision properly.
Yeah, exactly.
Without all the bumfuckery from Warner Bros. Studios.
And with all this stuff that was happening in his life, the reason why he actually, didn't finish the original.
Mm-hmm.
I love that he got to complete his vision. I think he is really passionate about the DCEU.
He is.
And I'd love it if they actually kept him on a showrunner. Like, I feel like they're going to replace him, but they shouldn't.
I feel like, well, I've heard a few things, which is that the head of AT&T or Warner Brothers, not the US version, but the head above those,
mm-hmm.
are really looking into the studio as a whole and maybe change the head of directors or something like that.
Yeah.
Because they want to build back bridges with audiences and producers and actors again.
Okay.
So, and yeah.
I think that's a fancy way of saying, by the way, that they didn't think Zack Snyder was doing well in what he was doing, but then they saw the amount of people who tuned in to Zack Snyder's Justice League, mm-hmm. The amount of people who watched it throughout the whole 4 hours as well.
Yeah.
I think that has maybe changed their minds, which is mm-hmm. a good thing.
Okay. I mean, yeah, I totally agree. What would you say would be your favorite parts of the movie, of the whole 4 hours?
My favorite scene was definitely the flashback with the Olympian gods. Fighting off Darkseid. I thought that was the best, some of the best Zack Snyder stuff I've ever seen. And yeah, I've loved him since I watched 300, which is my favorite movie.
I think the second one is called The History Lesson.
That's what it's called?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. And just seeing Zeus and Ares.
Ares and Artemis.
Artemis.
Not Artemis?
Artemis, yeah.
Yeah.
Also the Green Lantern. Oh my god, I was so hyped.
Only to be murdered in a little while.
Very quick.
What?
But seeing the ring like fly up into space, and I know that was in the original, but in this one, it gave him just a little more time, you know? And I think that's the general theme about why this movie is so much better. Like, it is too long, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. I had to take a break in between. Like, I think it is too long.
You did.
Oh, I did, yeah. But as a result of that, there is so much more time and attention given to each character, moment. Like, just the history lesson as an example,
mm-hmm.
you actually care about each of these people. I didn't even know in the original that it was supposed to be Olympian gods.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought it was dudes with like, you know, random powers, essentially. People with random powers.
True.
Also, I wasn't paying that much attention to the first movie, but
yeah.
So the little time that each scene gets more so than the first one, it makes the movie just immeasurably better.
I completely agree. There is a great breakdown on YouTube somewhere, which with the introduction of Wonder Woman,
mm-hmm.
at the bank, the terrorist attack at the bank in London.
Yep.
The the version of 2017 is it's kind of the same, but it's cut so much. There's no tension. It's just some pace to pace to pace.
Mm-hmm.
And the music is very weird. It's just very, very generic. It's, it doesn't do anything
The soundtrack for the original? Was it also Junkie XL?
No. It wasn't Junkie XL. It was by Danny Elfman, who mm-hmm. has also done scores for Spider-Man 2, of Sam Raimi's trilogy, for, I think it was Alice in Wonderland and Charlie in the Chocolate Factory. But for the 2021 version, the original version, quote-unquote, is Junkie XL, also known as Tom Holkenberg, who did a score for Batman v Superman as well with Hans Zimmer. Dutch guy, right? Yeah, it's a Dutch guy. Yeah, the music just has so much more character. It's just great.
Yeah, for sure. And I think it's the mood of the obviously Danny Elfman's, you know, resume doesn't inform what he does later. True. Like, but when you read those titles out and then you look at Zack Snyder's Justice League, it's like completely different tones, mm-hmm. you know. And I feel like the 2017 Justice League was a lot more Spider-Man 2 than Zack Snyder's Justice
League. Yeah, agreed.
Weird thing to say, but like, you know what I mean?
Musically.
No, just like in the general tone. It was more like trying to be like lighthearted and kind of funny.
Oh, like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Sure,
agreed. Yeah, what you said with the history lesson being one of your favorite segments. I agree with that. There are a few things that ish bother me, but not that much. It is the amount of exposition by Diana.
Yeah, yeah.
It is a bit much, but it is very helpful for the imagery on the screen.
Yeah, for sure.
Besides that, I'm just going through all the visuals in my head right now. I would say one of my favorite moments besides the history lesson would be Flash using the speed of Force.
Yes. Spoilers, by the way, in case we
didn't mention that. They're listening to this episode, they're going to hear all the spoilers pretty quickly.
Yeah, well.
But yeah, speed of Force, there is this rock guitar, electric guitar piece, which is very reminiscent of old rock songs from the last century, it is a quite a simple melody, constant repetition, but the execution of it and combined with the scene, it delivers such it's a great crescendo for the scene in the movie as a whole.
Yes.
Because what I really like about this movie, the build-up is not that great towards the movie, but the movie on its own, we see the League failing before they win.
Yeah.
And that was a great thing, instead of just the heroes winning first try.
Yeah, exactly. Taking some cues from Infinity War, maybe. Who knows? But it's just like you said, like little moments like that. Just the whole film, when you compare it directly to 2017, there is obviously a huge difference in tone, like color grading, like the original. I don't know who color graded it, but you did a bad job. Like, you did a really bad job.
I think the sunglasses.
They were probably wearing sunglasses, yeah.
Red tinted glasses. So much red.
He just believed that as long as his glasses were red, rose tinted, that's how everyone else would see the film who watched it.
Maybe.
That's not how it went down.
No.
But I will say this, some of the CGI is a little distracting, like the fight on Themyscira at the start.
Yeah, that's the only part that bothered me about the CGI.
Yeah.
Mostly because all the scenery and CGI is pretty great, except for the outside wide shots of Themyscira, because those look like
and I'm guessing these were all reshoots, right? So
a big, maybe a small part of it, but not that much. Okay. But it just looks like it's shot on a soundstage or it's in a green room, basically.
But then you compare it to when the big building that was housing the mother box, when that collapses, that is insane.
That entire building collapses off the cliff into the sea. That is so great CGI.
Oh my god.
So that's, those are the most off-putting moments, I would say, for the CGI, just the surrounding shot, because the majority is pretty great, except for where they're in the field on Themyscira.
Also, at the end, a little bit in the city, it was a little janky here.
Where?
When the whole team are taking on Steppenwolf in the big city at the end, it was fine. Don't get me wrong, it wasn't bad, but like I noticed some moments like it just looked weird. Like Batman looked really rubbery, you know, stuff like that.
He looked less rubbery than the 2017 version, but
if we're going to just compare it to the 2017 version,
then this one is 100% Rotten Tomatoes fresh rated, whatever.
Yeah. It's like comparing a piece of trash with something that isn't trash.
Exactly. Okay, then. So we can all agree the best moments were either the history lesson or reversing time.
Yes, I love the reversing time bit. Like, any creative solution to a superhero movie, just an action movie, that isn't just, let's punch him in the face. I love that. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
And, like, compared, or the way Steppenwolf is executed.
Mm. Oh, yeah, yeah. Like, the shifting armor pieces and, you know.
That is all, but no, I mean, like, his death.
Okay, yeah.
Like, first we see Superman beating the shit out of him. Then he gets launched by, I think it was by Aquaman.
Yeah, some team-up moments.
And then there's Wonder Woman jumping up and beheading him
with his
head falling at Darkseid's foot.
I love that. And the fact that it's Wonder Woman who probably, you know, had the most reason to hate him because he, you know,
murdered destroyed all his sisters.
Themyscira, yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's rightful that they gave it to Wonder Woman. I don't really remember 2017's ending, but I'm pretty sure it was...
He was dragged off by Parademons because they could smell fear.
Jesus, Joss.
We liked him because of Avengers. We liked him less after Age of Ultron, except for a few moments.
And now we hate him because of all these allegations.
He threatened Gal Gadot's career. The film itself recycles bad sexist jokes from Age of Ultron and puts him back in a 2017 version.
Yeah.
But it didn't even work the first time.
Everybody hated it the first time. Like, nobody wants to see that.
You know? Nobody wants to see Bruce and Nat get together like that, at least.
Exactly. And even if someone ships them...
And then there's Barry falling on Wonder Woman's tits.
It's just horrible. It's really, like, grade school humor. It's like, come on. This is the guy who made the first Avengers, which is really, really a great movie. Okay, I have some notes that I was writing down while I watched it.
Yeah.
Number one, Momoa as Aquaman.
Oh,
perfect. Literally perfect casting. He's so cool. Like, I couldn't think of anyone else who could play him, really.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
I do think he probably needs more booze than, you know, because he goes into the fishing
village,
bar in the fishing village.
Yeah.
Just grabbed one glass of whiskey right after saving the dude. Pretty sure he's almost like a god. Like, I think he needs...
He took one glass and then he also...
One bottle, sorry.
And he took the bottle after that.
Yeah. Well, I think he needs more than a bottle of whiskey. You know, he's...
Any other character studies to present? I was to say, almost or basically the entire cast is perfect. I have some issue with Ezra Miller as the Flash.
Yeah.
Also because I first remember him as the creepy or the weird kid from Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Him, as Credence.
Okay, I thought you were going to say you remember him as the creepy weird kid from We Need to Talk About Kevin, which is a horrible movie to watch.
I haven't.
Especially if you're a parent.
I didn't know that one. But
it's just about a psychopathic kid who is just really tortures his parents. And
oh God. Yeah, oh no, Lisa.
It's scary. So seeing him as like a funny, like quippy guy, it was a little jarring.
It shows his abilities as an actor.
He's a fantastic actor. Don't get me wrong. He's amazing. But
he's also a bit... He got some bad press from some videos. So people are not too keen on him always.
I think he's trying to make him the comic relief lessens his character.
It is not. His version has ADHD.
Okay. Which
explain some of the quips, and some of the quips are funny, but
yeah, definitely.
It's just his introduction in the pet store was the most cringy moment in the film for me.
Yeah. And I think as the film goes on, because it's so long, it's like
I didn't even realize how fast time went by when I watched it.
Really?
Because I only remember having small breaks to either take a piss or grab a new beer.
Yeah.
So I just watched the 4 hours in one go.
Well, I mean, we don't all have a ton to do in recent times, so maybe that contributed a little bit. But a 4-hour movie.
But like, still, it is, I think, 6 episodes in an epilogue.
Yeah.
And even Zack Snyder said himself that it was best to watch it in
pieces,
different installments, different episodes. Yeah. I think the later half really fits that.
Yeah.
But it is that if you would do it like that, the first 1 or 2 episodes would be just most like slow build up, really.
Yeah.
And I would say that if you would watch it in installments, watch maybe episode 1 and 2, you know, in one go, and then episodically, as it said, because the ending before the epilogue is actually the ending of the film,
mm-hmm.
and the epilogue is just a great setup for future projects, so like Justice League 2 and 3,
yeah.
Martian Manhunter, even a little monologue from
The Joker.
No, not even that one. That's after, that's later. But I mean, from Cyborg's father.
Oh, yeah.
Silas Stone.
Yeah.
But now he's talking to him as a father.
So mm-hmm.
Victor is finally ready to listen to his dad because...
That was the best decision he made, Zack Snyder, was focusing on Cyborg and just filling out... making him the focus of the movie, essentially.
Yeah.
That was the best decision you made in this film, in my opinion. It changed the whole like tone of the film. It changed the whole reason everyone's doing what they're doing. And there was an actual group dynamic now between the team, which obviously we don't have 10 years of individual movies to build these relationships. Mm-hmm. But there was like a team, you know, people were bouncing off
chemistry.
Each other.
There's chemistry.
Yeah, for sure.
A lot more than... I'm going back again, the 2017 version, just for comparisons, really. Mm. In the 2017 version, where they're arguing whether or not to bring Superman back alive,
yeah.
It's just standing shots, like or solo shots,
so yeah,
none of them in the room.
Yeah.
And in the 21 version, you have like a walking camera around
and that's,
one shot, a one shot with all the characters there.
Yeah, that's Zack Snyder doing what he does. Like, he's really good at that. He uses slow motion in all of his movies so much that it's become like essentially he kind of has to use it in his movies. But
mm-hmm.
I think it doesn't work all the time. But in this movie,
it's perfectly justified.
Yeah,
because
justified.
It is just because these are superheroes, and when anything needs a slow mo, dramatic, powerful entrance, it's a superhero, and especially
or a supervillain. The shot with the Darkseid. Jumping off his plane. That, oh my God, that was just gorgeous. That was
smacking the earth with his axe.
I don't even know what it is about it, but just the way the camera follows him out all the way onto the ground.
I mean, that's it. It is an entire CGI effect-generated segment, and the camera follows it flawlessly.
The whole way through. And it gives him a lot of impact and like momentum, and yeah, it's really cool stuff that they missed out on huge in the last movie.
Mm-hmm.
Back
to the characters, I want to say. So we all have some doubts about Flash.
Mm-hmm.
Jason Momoa's Aquaman is perfect.
Couldn't be better.
True. I mean, Victor Stone, Ray.
Also good casting, Ray Fisher.
Ray Fisher. I was going to say Ray Fishburne. That's someone else. Ray Fisher.
Yeah.
I think the first project I saw him was Jumanji, like the reboot sequel of Jumanji.
That's where I've seen him in. Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay, all right. Because I was wondering, I've never seen him in it. I didn't think I saw him in
it. Oh, Jumanji. And then this version. And yeah, I think he is a great addition to the cast.
Oh, 100%.
And especially what he did behind the scenes. Like after everything with Joss Whedon and about he basically revived the Restored Snyder Cut.
Oh, snap. Yeah.
I mean, he brought out all the allegations, which set these researchers into motion.
That's scary, the fact that some of these women didn't feel like secure enough to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Who else do we got? We got Batman.
Batman. I actually like Batfleck.
No, don't like Batfleck. Never did like Batfleck though, so maybe that plays a part. Don't like how he went from murdering people to now he's like so... I have no other way to describe it, but he sounds really happy in every one of his scenes. Like
he's a little more optimistic compared to the BVS.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. Like that's good. Obviously, Ben Affleck was probably just having a better time.
I read the Dark Knight comics, where there's also like an older Bruce Wayne getting back into the job. He also kills some people there.
Yeah,
and which is, I mean, I get it after so much time, but. It is a new introduction of this Batman, and for the first Batman, his first move to killing people is quite a shock to a lot of people.
Yeah, yeah.
I would feel it as well if we got another origin story for a new Batman.
Can't wait for that. Robert.
Yeah, true. No. Robert Pattinson also is like 1 year into the business already. It's not an origin story.
Right.
So because we have the Dark Knight trilogy, which is basically a cinematic masterpiece as well. Whole trilogy on its own.
Yeah.
If we got another one, another origin story... Just like with Spider-Man, he doesn't get an origin story in the MCU.
Mm-hmm.
He did get the first Spider-Man trilogy and the first Amazing Spider-Man movies. All origin stories.
Yeah.
Skip that. Everyone knows it for now. Maybe later.
Mm-hmm.
But where he's a new version of the character, yes, he's killing. At the end, he doesn't brand Lex Luthor. So that's already character development in the BVS movie. Or especially, I don't know if it's in a theatrical version.
There's a long intake of breath.
I know. It is in the Ultimate Edition, the version I've seen. I've never seen theatrical cut. So maybe I would be more pissed about the movie if I saw the theatrical cut.
I thought it sucked. It just sucked. Like, I don't know.
Did you watch the theatrical or the Ultimate?
I did only watch the theatrical, to be fair.
We're going to watch the Ultimate Edition sometime because it is a lot better. Trust me.
Yeah.
But there is some character development in that movie. And yeah, he...
Martha!
Oh, no. I don't know. That's the one thing we agree on. Fuck that. But there's already like some character development there, and yes, in Zack Snyder's Justice League, he's a lot more happy.
Yeah,
he's a lot more optimistic. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But like he says to Alfred, sometimes you gotta have faith, and he befriended an alien demigod.
Basically. Okay, but see, my problem with that is like,
even though he kind of killed him almost.
If we're talking, this is mid Batman's career. He's got really gruff and angry, and you know, he's killing people now with shotguns and machine guns, and branding them with knives and bat symbols. You'd think in the very next film he wouldn't suddenly just total character shift.
Hey, you know?
Batman.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like he wouldn't just totally change his whole character. That's not character development. That's just trying to fit a character into a position you already created.
That is true.
You know, like, he was so angry in BVS. He was furious.
He was.
Like, jeez.
He was, yeah. So, I feel like there were mixes of his more dramatic personality and his semi-quippy, optimistic one. Which made for, a kind of like a split personality type portrayal. Because the brooding, dramatic performance was still dramatic and brooding, which is what we know Batman for.
Yeah,
some of the quips were therefore off, but it was fine.
I just don't understand. I don't know his character. I don't know what he is. I don't know what they're trying to go for with him. I never did, though. Like, in the first BVS, I thought, okay, angry Batman, cool. But now it's totally changed.
Now he's happy Batman.
Happy Batman, angry Batman,
yeah,
whatever. I mean, I'm pretty sure he's done after this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm happy about that because Robert Pattinson is a great actor and I love him.
Be honest, I would love to see a Batfleck series on HBO.
Yeah?
Yeah, I would.
I would love...
If only to further explore the character.
Yeah, sure. The problem with the DCEU is that they don't know what they were doing from the beginning.
I think it's mostly Warner Bros.
Yeah, maybe they did know. Maybe Zack knew what his plan was.
Zack has a plan.
They screwed it up, and now they're in such a terrible position where their best actors and their best movies... are coming separately from the main franchise, like, universe.
Now they're doing all these spin-off movies, yeah, because Zack Snyder had a plan for at least two more Justice League movies.
Yeah, yeah.
With one of them, Darkseid conquering the Earth.
Ah, nice.
But I don't think we'll ever be seeing that one.
No.
Sadly.
No. Unfortunately.
Yeah, to move over to some other parts of the cast. Let's talk about the cast, then we move over to the score, because I really want to talk about the soundtrack of this movie.
Okay.
Wonder Woman, Gal Gadot.
Perfect. Like,
yeah.
She couldn't be better, to be honest.
She is a perfect casting.
And the fact that she was actually in the Israeli military and has that experience, really see it because she does, mm-hmm. I presume she does most of her own stunts.
I am very happy, I would have to admit, that Zack Snyder did not direct the Wonder Woman movie on its own.
Yeah.
Because there was a picture which was first in the BVS movie, the war picture. With the comrades, with Steve and stuff like that, all the others.
Oh, you mean when they're searching for the advanced people?
Yeah, there was a picture with Wonder Woman fighting in an older war where she was carrying heads.
Oh, damn.
That's a bit overkill.
Oh, jeez.
That's not really... I know there's... I think it was Flashpoint Paradox where the Amazonians and Wonder Woman warrior queens killing. But mostly Wonder Woman does not really kill that much.
No, and it's weird that she would do that. Like, it's not in the tone of the universe,
Yeah, beheading Steppenwolf, it's something completely different than beheading humans.
Exactly, in World War, you know...
That's the one thing I'll give, which gives a little complaint from me towards Zack Snyder, but still.
He is a bit too brutal sometimes.
A bit?
Yeah, maybe a lot too brutal. But I was excited for an R-rated... DC Universe, because I think it would be like a perfect foil to Marvel's like more family friendly stuff.
True,
but I'm obviously that this is a risk.
Though Marvel's also moving more into the mature content.
Yes,
right now,
and you know I don't need my superheroes to be chopping off heads and
torturing people. I feel like with the Wonder Woman movie, the 2017 version, the 2020 version, the Wonder Woman 1984 is a lot more lighthearted compared to the 2017 version.
Yeah,
because the 2017 version, the original, her origin story, mm-hmm. it has got some, still got some pretty brutal dark shit in the movie.
Yeah.
Like the trenches, people like losing limbs, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
She straight up stabs a dude because she thinks he's the god of war.
Oh yeah, true.
General Ludendorff.
Yep. Well, I mean, he was a Nazi, so you can be forgiven for stabbing.
It was World War I, so he wasn't a Nazi yet.
Oh shit, right, yeah. I thought it was World War II, Wonder Woman.
Mm-mm.
Ah.
It's the war to end all wars. That's the First World War.
Right. I barely remember this movie. The only like memory I have of Wonder Woman 1 is obviously the great shot where she's coming out of
No Man's Land.
That was absolutely glorious. And also when she wrecks the building, like jumping through the...
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it's great. Cool. But yeah, I need to watch it again.
And of course, I think we have to stop or end with this one. Henry Cavill as Superman.
Again, perfect.
Perfect casting.
Yeah, yeah.
Henry Cavill is just... He plays, well, Clark Kent, Superman, Geralt of Rivia and The Witcher.
Yeah.
Sherlock Holmes.
He's a nerd's wet dream.
Yes, he is.
Is what he is. We need a new Green Lantern. We need an actual named Green
Maybe
Lantern.
Maybe Ryan Reynolds is available.
I would love that. Obviously, I would love that. Just bring him back. Why not? You may as well.
Yeah. But the thing is, I don't think we'll ever get a Henry Cavill movie again, Superman, because did you hear the recent news?
Michael B. Jordan, right? They've
well, they've rumored. Rumors, but the most primary thing is that they announced they would be casting a black actor as a new Superman, as a new Clark Kent on Henry Cavill's birthday.
That's dumb. That's really dumb. That doesn't make any sense at all.
Like, it's just kicking someone while he's down, basically.
Like, we have black superheroes in the DCEU, you know, that haven't been in movies yet. So maybe do those before you start recasting the best Superman we've had in
years. Before you start whitewashing or blackwashing, just look to the origins.
Yeah, exactly. But, exactly. And, I get it. It's a thing. I think Black Panther showed people, well, showed industry heads at least that, you know, this could be financially a really good thing, which is a great thing because at the end of the day, black leads weren't, you know, seen in that respect, that, mm-hmm. that was, these people could lead their own movies. Whereas now they are, and that's an amazing thing. But
industries can finally profit of other people as well. Let's give them a movie.
Yeah, that's how they see it anyway. It's all about, you know,
how it's all about the money.
Yeah, but
yeah, it's a much needed representation, definitely.
Yeah, but not Superman. Not right now, Superman.
No, definitely not.
We haven't even had a good like Superman, you know, trilogy or series of movies.
He has one movie and
one good movie.
And Zack Snyder planned a sequel, but it was, scrapped.
Yeah, exactly. So, exactly. Yeah. Choreography. Let's talk about choreography for a second.
Oh, go ahead.
I thought it's so much better than the first one in the sense that like, you can actually see what people were doing like in a sort of a fluid, natural way. Like
mm-hmm.
Diana was zipping about, blocking bullets and doing all this stuff.
Doom, doom, doom.
And it all looked real. Like it all looked pretty good considering the inhuman stuff they were doing.
Yeah. There is a great shot. I'm not sure it's more cinematography than choreography. Mm-hmm. The one shot towards the end, with the like fighting through the Russian city.
Yeah,
slow-mo shot of Batman driving the Batmobile.
Yeah.
You see Wonder Woman flying over him. You see Flash passing him.
Yeah.
Aquaman jumping in, Cyborg flying, just the League shot.
Made me, like, that shot made me really sad.
And it has this great music over it. I'll put something in to show it because it's really, you can hear the slow motion in the song.
Yeah. Exactly. But it made me sad because it's like this movie could have been up there with Endgame. This could have been so good.
This is probably the best.
It's the best we're going to get.
And the best we're going to get for at least some time until Warner gets some new heads.
It's really good. Really, really good. I enjoyed the time I had. I thought it was long in the sense that I just couldn't sit down for that long, you know, staring at one thing. But, you know, I could do it for Lord of the Rings. So I guess it's a different.
It's just fine. You can easily do it.
Well, it depends. Some parts dragged, let's put it like that. I think as much as the Cyborg arc was great, some of the stuff was overly long and a little like, do we need this? Like, why is this here? The football scene, Zach, I get it. You like slow motion, you know? Oh my gosh.
I would say the slow motion was a bit overkill in the football scene. Yes. But it added to the dramatic tension of the shot.
Yeah, just the
feel. But that's the whole thing of slow-mo. Like, there was one scene where I didn't think it needed slow motion, which is where Lois Lane visits Superman's memorial and she's placing a cup of coffee on the barricade.
Mm-hmm.
That one did not need slow motion because you can also not. In real time put it down slowly.
Yeah, but if if you look at Zack's older movies, he's done that all the time,
True.
In Watchmen, there was a whole funeral scene, which was entirely slow motion. It worked there, but
that is true.
True. It doesn't really work here. A couple of my notes. Just thought I'd read them all out.
All of them?
No, just a few I haven't mentioned yet. Some dialogue's really cringy, especially at the beginning. The Themyscirans, the Amazon, sorry. Some of the stuff they said to each other didn't make it. It didn't sound, right.
Some of the articulation was a bit.
Yeah, I think the lady who plays Diana's mum is not a good actress. At least in this movie, she was not great. No, did not like her in this
movie. I think she did pretty good, actually.
No,
the thing show him your fear. That's a great line.
When she was trying to rouse her troops, it was great. It was good. But when she was just talking, it was really off. I'm not sure why.
I think this is also a result from the Wonder Woman movie, most specifically Gal Gadot's accent.
Yeah.
Because when she's playing your lead, mm-hmm. she has this, she has an accent.
Yeah.
And all the other actresses don't always have that. But for the sake of continuity, they have to.
So they kind of changed it to fit her accent.
They had to, most of the actresses had to change their accents to fit the one that Gal Gadot has herself.
Yeah.
I think that's the biggest issue. Not everyone can properly do another accent.
Yeah, I mean, it's a choice that makes sense, but it didn't work for me in that moment. But the passing of the mother box seems really great.
Yeah. And what I would say, one thing about the Amazonians, the music.
Yes.
It's
yes,
not yes, bad. Yes.
It's just overplayed.
It's
not
bad. It's just played so many times. Yeah. It's on par with the fuckery of the Icelandic song
that I'm saying while sniffing
Arthur Curry's shirt. It's like, oh, let me sniff your shirt
while I'm singing these hallowed Icelandic tunes.
The Icelandic song is a song. I think it exists in real life, or it's based on real life, where they sing to say goodbye to a godlike deity or something.
Look, contextually, it makes total sense.
The song itself is just, what the fuck am I listening to?
Norse heroes, essentially, Greek heroes, this is what all this stuff is based on.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, but it did not work.
It was Amazonian. If I wanted to hear that every time I turn on my radio, I would just listen to Shakira.
Yeah. And it was so long, oh my god. But again, I said this earlier, the reason this movie works is because it devotes more time to every single scene. There's just that little bit extra. It doesn't always work, like in the Icelandic singing
the little part, yeah.
That, so it doesn't always work, but usually it does work, and it's fixed the movie. It's made it a very good movie.
And a big part that made this happen was the music.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Junkie XL. Ugh.
Junkie XL. It's great. He has a YouTube channel as well where he explains how he made the music.
Mm-hmm.
There's a video of The Speed of Force, which is one of my favorite scenes. The crew of War Power as well.
What a song.
Wonder Woman's theme. It's so good. Mm. What would you say is your favorite song? We just listened to a few before we started.
It's always going to be Crew at War Power. That's one of my favorite movie songs of all time, to be honest.
Yes, no, I fully agree. It's supposed to be a national anthem, and it feels like that.
Yes, yes.
Even when you're hungover in bed, you don't want to move a muscle. You hear the sound.
It just rouses you up.
Fuck,
together.
Fuck, I gotta get out of bed now. Exactly.
Yeah.
Besides that, what would you say are some of the better moments?
In the soundtrack, I think whenever Superman's theme played, because they did use that quite rarely.
Yeah.
I've loved that song since Man of Steel. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it gave me chills every time that played, essentially. I loved it. And what else? I have to remember like specific song titles.
Like I said, the song Speed of Four, the Destruction of the World, where he reverses time.
Yep.
With the one with the guitar. I'll play something right here. Where, the guitar, the electric guitar in the background is so great.
Yes.
And
the one when they revive Superman was a pretty good track.
Oh, they revive. I think that one is
Superman Returns, right?
Number one, yeah, because of two. Because the second one is the actual like the with the bigger the horns and the brass sounds where he enters, where he saves Cyborg from Steppenwolf's axe.
Right. So the second one,
not impressed. Oh.
I, by the way, one of my favorite moments in the movie, 100%, when Superman wakes up and he's pissed, and the Flash is kind of like sprinting past him, trying to get around him, and then he just turns and
his
looks.
His eye is like,
oh shit!
Fuck me!
I love that, and just little things like that are why I love DC like so much.
But... yeah, the characters are so interesting, and the cast is great. Just the head of directors from Warner Brothers.
Screwed everything up, essentially.
They got six of their
ass. Look at Avengers, you know? You have these random obscure characters, and we love all of them. Whereas we have some of the most recognizable heroes in history. And, you know...
the majority doesn't care about them.
Yeah.
And also because, I mean, the media also make it this thing like, oh, Marvel versus DC. Like, no, you can love both.
Yeah, you can love both. You can love both. And but a Marvel-DC movie, interesting.
Great. I would say, besides that, because... one of my other the Superman Return theme, because it's basically lifted from Man of Steel: First Flight, I think it's called.
Yes, yeah.
Those are some great bits. There is this one. It's called early in the beginning. I think Wonder Woman defending something. You hear this do, which goes like from one earphone to the other, so it's like. Yeah. It's fully surrounding you.
Nice.
You have to wear headphones for this album because it's just so great. Yeah. Like, you live in the music. And I want to say the last song you hear at the in the whole movie at the end credits, basically.
It's a cover of...
it's a cover of Hallelujah.
Yes.
Alison Krauss, I think.
And it was his daughter's favorite song.
It was his daughter's favorite song, which is, of course, why he left the project in 2017, because his daughter committed suicide.
Yeah, rest in peace.
Yes. And he had a cover of it. He used it firstly for the first trailer for the movie, for the renewed version. And it was also in the movie. And I think it was the same vocalist who sang it at a funeral. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But that's one thing... which I want to say this movie did create, like they had a product placement.
Mercedes, yep.
No, not really like Mercedes, like the one after. They have a big billboard of mental health aid.
Oh, yeah. I didn't notice that, actually.
They have a big billboard, like in the middle of the screen.
Yeah.
Where there's information on where to go you're struggling with anything.
That's beautiful, yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, that's what makes this movie a little bit more special, I would say. Just the reasons behind it.
The fact that we've essentially got a patched movie, and the fact that it's successful, and it's not only improved it, but it's made it a bona fide movie in its own right. Like, it's not just a improved version of something
else. It's the original version restored.
Yeah, exactly. And it's a really, really good film. And the fact that all of this came in the middle of such a what must have been an awful time for Zach, it's very impressive. Yeah.
What would you give the movie as a grade as a whole?
As a grade, as a superhero film, I'm going to give it a 7.5. As a movie in general, so this is compared to the all-time, you know, great, we'll call it a 7.
That's a fair argument, I would say. I have a difficult... to properly like compare it to other films because I enjoyed this so much. I enjoy this so much.
Mm.
I would stand by my Letterboxd review where I gave it an 8.5.
Yeah.
Because it is a great superhero movie. It is not the same level of Endgame, of course.
Yeah.
But I'm not comparing Marvel and DC for this one. I really enjoyed the movie.
Mm.
The character build-up is mostly great. Even Endgame had some stupid quips, which I can really pissed about.
Yeah.
Yeah, 8.5.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
I mean, it's difficult putting grades on things, but I'll stand by that.
It will probably at least be in my top something of favorite movies. I'm not saying a specific number because then I'll have to name every movie, or you're going to ask me all the movies that are in there. Yeah. It is in my list of favorite movies I've ever seen.
Fair enough. I mean, what did it for me with this movie is the fact that it actually made me excited in certain points. It made me sad at other moments. Not just because of the context of why it was made, you know, the way it was made. But it had so many moments which affected me in different ways, which mm-hmm. you don't often get from superhero movies.
Goosebumps, even so many times.
Some of the Marvel movies, you don't get that from. Mm-hmm. But yeah, overall, very successful job. This has never been done before, and I love you, Zack Snyder. I forgot to say this earlier, so I'm adding this on at the end. Fuck Amber Heard.
Agreed. Justice for Johnny Depp.
Justice for Johnny Depp.
I have two things left to say. The first one, hashtag restore the Snyderverse.
100%. 100%.
And my final thing I will say, play the ancient lamentation music.